A pleasant evening to each of you. We're delighted we have this opportunity in the middle of the week to stop and to study and to think about things that are high and holy, those things that are set above from the Word of God. Appreciate so much your presence tonight. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Exodus and the 33rd chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that our brother has suggested. And if you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready tonight where you can be baptized upon your faith in Jesus Christ and have every sin blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we pray that tonight you would make that restoration so that your calling and election is sure and that you can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Appreciate so much the songs led by Brother Jake and the prayer by Brother Jerry. When you make a study from the book of Exodus and the 33rd chapter, I want to begin reading at verse 18 and notice some powerful thoughts from the divine revelation. And notice, if you will, the great request made by Moses. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But God said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" At this particular time, I want you to take note that Moses makes a great request. Moses has a desire to see God. His desire at this time is to look upon God. Now, there are some who have said this shows a weakness on the part of Moses, that Moses' faith was weak. But I want to tell you, my friend, I do not believe that to be the case. He wasn't rebuked like Thomas was in John 20. But here was a man who just asked the question, "Can I see your glory?" But you remember that Moses had already heard the voice of God. Moses had heard the voice in Exodus chapter 3 from the burning bush. And I'll tell you, that had to have been something in the life of Moses that was incredible, to hear the voice of God. Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Exodus and the 24th chapter. And when you come to Exodus 24, when Moses had ascended the mount, and you'll remember that on this occasion, the Bible says in verse 15 that Moses went up into the mountain and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord, in verse 16, rested on Mount Sinai. Underscore glory. Notice that he had saw at this time a portion of the glory. And look at what the Bible says, continuing in verse 17. "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." Can you just get a picture in your mind? Just a glimpse of the glory of God. But on these occasions, Moses heard the voice of God, but now he wants to see God. And notice that God, at this time, is going to give a response. But I want you to stop for just a moment. Isn't it true of us? Wouldn't you just like to get a glimpse of God? I know some people say, "Well, we recognize that God is a spirit." But notice that when God talked to Moses, he said, "I'll tell you, Moses, you cannot see my face and live. But I'll let you see a glimpse of my glory. You shall see my back." And I thought about what it would be like to see God. And there's a burning desire within those who are see the glory of God. Can you imagine seeing God? But then if you take your Bible, look at this man, Moses, and notice his attitude. He's a very sincere man. He's a man that is sincere, genuine, and pure in his prayer. And he's very serious about desiring to see the glory of God. And you know, my friend, as the people of God, our prayers need to be genuine and sincere and pure. And notice he's a humble man. In fact, the business, he's called the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, I'll tell you, when you look at Moses, you see a man who was sincere. You see a man who was humble. You see a man who had a desire to see God. But I'll tell you what else you see when you look at Moses. You see a man of faith. You remember in Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, he is mentioned as a hero of faith. Because of his faith, he went out and did God's will, even though it cost him greatly. But I'll tell you, when you look at your Bible, notice God's reply to Moses. Though Moses had a sincere prayer, and though Moses was a man of faith, and though he was a man of meekness, God's reply in verse 20 of Exodus 33 is, "No man can see my face and live." Now think about that for just a moment. God did not answer the prayer the way Moses had asked it. But God was giving Moses a blessing. Had God just answered the prayer the way Moses had asked it, Moses would have died. And many times we get confused when God doesn't answer a prayer exactly the way we may intend it to be, but many times it's a blessing from God. Secondly, notice at this time that he said, "My glory will pass by," in verse 22. And I want you to think about the splendor of God, the majesty of God. And notice in your Bible that when Moses was given the law, that just being in the presence of the glory of God caused his face to shine. Take your New Testament and look in 2 Corinthians and the 3rd chapter. And when the Apostle Paul is writing the second epistle back to the church at Corinth, look at what he says in verses 7 and 8. "But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious," he's talking about the old law, "so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" Now think about what Paul is saying. You think that when Moses came down and his face shone and the people were frightened and he had to fail, he's saying, you think that's glorious? How much more glorious the covenant we're under, the covenant of the Spirit, the covenant of grace, a better covenant as the Hebrew writer describes. So now then, as I make my study, I see God is showing His majesty, and what He did, Moses was able to glorify God. Now then, I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson here. In Romans 15:4, the Apostle Paul said, "The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and admonition. They were taught for us so that we would have an example." And I want you to think about that even tonight, people of God have a desire to see God. Have you ever wondered what God looks like? You ever wondered what it would be like to be in the presence of God? And there's nothing wrong with a man's desire to see God. But when you think of the glory of God, how do you see? There was a little boy one time who was going to draw a picture of God. His mother said, "No one knows what God looks like." And he said, "Well, they will when I'm done with my picture." Well, I'll tell you, we know no one knows what God looks like. But I'll tell you something. There's ways we can see the glory of God. You ever notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 19? We see his handiwork. Look in Psalm 19 and verse 1. And we've quoted this many times over, but I wonder if we've ever really touched it. When he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." When you see a sunset, you get just a glimpse, a picture of the glory of God. When you go through the hills of Middle Tennessee or the cotton fields of Alabama, you get just a picture of the glory of God. Have you ever thought about, my friend, the glory of God? But then, if you want to see the glory of God, look at His Son. Take your Bible and look in the book of John and the 1st chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 1st chapter, notice what John has to say. And it is a powerful statement. In John one John wants us to understand in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Underscore His glory. Now watch the next line. "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Then drop down to verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a moment. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice that the Apostle Paul is writing, and look at what he said in verse 6. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Every time I look at Jesus Christ, I see the glory of God. I see the glorious Son. And I remember the question that was asked, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "If you've seen Me," in John 14:9, "you've seen My Father." Now then, I've seen the glory in creation. I've seen glory in His Son. But I want to tell you where else you see the glory is in the Gospel. You ever thought about how glorious the Gospel is? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. When the Apostle Paul was writing to that young evangelist, he had one thing in his mind about the Gospel. Look at what he says in verse 11. "According to the glorious Gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to My trust." Sometimes I hear people throw off on the Word of God. You know what they said in New Testament day? Paul said, it's the glorious Gospel. It's what can save man. It's all we need so that we can be what God wants us to be. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:8, it's more glorious than the old law. Look, if you take your Bible back to 2 Corinthians 4 again, and look at what he said before he got down to verse 6. Look at what he says in verse 4. He talks about the devil, he said, "whose mind the god of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now that's what the devil's trying to do, prevent people from seeing the glory of God. And I'll tell you tonight, he's doing a masterful job. But I'll tell you something else. See the glory of God, you'll see it in His church. Take your Bible and you'll read in the Ephesian letter in the 3rd chapter in about verse 10 that the church is the manifold wisdom of God. Then you can drop down from Ephesians 3:10 and look at what he says in verse 21. "To Him be glory in the church." Underscore that. "By Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now tonight, one thing I need to understand, the glory of Christ is in the church. It's in His people, His redeemed. It's not in an institution, it's not in a school, it's not in anything man has made up. It's in the church of my Lord. The glory is in the church. Oh, why would we get back to preaching that like we should? But one last thing. When you think about the glory of God, people should see the glory of God in us. I wonder if we realize that we as Christians need to reflect the glory of God. What's He say in Matthew 5:16? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and" what? "Glorify your Father in heaven." Take your New Testament and turn to the book of John in the 15th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 15th chapter, look at what is said in verse 8. "By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples." Now then, people should see the glory of God through us. When I see young men like Jake get up and lead singing, my heart is touched. And when I hear of good things that older folks and younger folks and members of this congregation are doing, recognized, but to the glory of God. I tell you, my friend, people are getting a glimpse of God through us. You ever thought about we are to reflect His glory? And all that we do should be to give Him honor and praise and glory. And people see that in us. And the results will be, take your Bible and look in the Revelation letter in the 21st chapter. And if ever there's a touching scene, it's in Revelation 21. And notice what the Bible says, beginning at verse 22. And He's talking about the glory of heaven. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations in it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you imagine that heaven? No need for a sun, no need for a moon, because God's glory illuminates the heavens. The glory of God. Show me Your glory. And you know, my friend, He's given us glimpses here. But can you imagine what it will be fully revealed to those who are saved? The question I have is, can if you're here and you need to be baptized or have be restored, we pray You'd make your life right and You glorify Your Father as together we stand and sing.